We're taking a look back at a time when Craig Ferguson was Britney Spears' only defender. Lana Condor will be behind and in front of the camera for a new Netflix series. And we're joined by Elamine Abdul-Mahmoud to discuss the changing tides of country music.
It's February 9th, 2021. Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham.
And I'm Zach Stafford. Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily. So today is impeachment part deux. How are you feeling?
Yeah, part two. I mean, wild that we're back here again.
I feel like it just makes sense that our first reality TV show president would have his second season picked up for impeachment.
Yeah.
Like impeachment season
the sequel.
Two.
The sequel.
It will be interesting. We will be watching for any fun moments out of the trial, but we are just like with his past presidency, trying to look past what is happening in many ways.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, we're still dealing with it. We're watching, but unfortunately so. Okay, so we need to talk about this video from Craig Ferguson refusing to make fun of Britney Spears way back in 2007. It's making the rounds again and for good reason. For those who don't remember what he said, let's refresh your memory.
You know, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about making fun of these people. And for me, comedy should have a certain amount of joy in it. It should be about us attacking the powerful people, attacking the politicians and the Trumps and the blowhards and the going after them. We shouldn't be attacking the vulnerable people. And I think this is totally a mea culpa. This is just for me. I think my aim's been off a bit recently. I want to change it a bit. So tonight, no Britney Spears jokes. This woman has two kids. She's 25 years old. She's a baby herself. She's a baby.
This video is resurfacing in part thanks to the New York Times documentary Framing Britney Spears, which we have feelings on and will be discussing at length in the future. But it's so true. It's never a good look to attack the vulnerable. And I think what I really like about this, Zach, is like, it's clear when you have like your own personal gut check and you're like, I feel icky about what's happening right now and I don't want to be a part of it.
Yes. And you know, that's called like having a moral center, I think. And so much about what we're learning about Britney Spears and her treatment through the New York Times documentary is a lot of us weren't thinking. We're just like chasing the very quick high of like making a bad joke about someone going through something very serious, and also the economies that were built around exploiting her trauma. And it's incredible to see that at least one person, one man, was like, hey guys, maybe we shouldn't make fun of the 25-year-old young person who's going through a lot right now. And it's sad that retrospectively, we wish more people would have stepped in. But at the time they didn't, then it's really, really sad.
It truly is.
Meanwhile, Lana Condor is set to make her debut as an executive producer. You're hearing that right. The To All the Boys star will be starring in and producing the new Netflix live-action series, Boo Bitch. For Netflix, the show is about, quote, a high school senior who, after years of playing it safe, decides to live an epic life, only to wake up the next morning and find out she's now a ghost. And of course, the final movie based on Jenny Han's book series, To All the Boys, Always and Forever, will be live on Netflix on Friday.
Which I am very excited for both of these things. I mean, natural next step for Lana Condor to be an executive producer. And also I want to talk about, because this is, may it always be the season of Jenny Han. She's another book series called The Summer I Turned Pretty, and that's being turned into a TV series. And she's writing the pilot, which I think is so cool because I love what, you know, in the age of like Hollywood wanting any IP they can get their hands on, it's really cool when you get to see the author of said IP get to be involved in the TV series or movies that it's being turned into, to have like that ownership. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I love the rise of the Jenny Han empire. I think she has the range, and mm-hmm. she's putting out more books than most people who just try to write one book can ever do. So she's putting out books and movies and everything. So she is a machine and we love to see it.
And it's also great because I think that they do, with these books, they do a great job with casting. It's like a really great place to just have a very diverse cast. You know, this TV series can be anything we want it to be based on just like the heart of what Jenny Han gave us.
100%. All right. When we come back, we're talking to Elamine Abdul-Mahmoud about the changing tides of country music. Stay tuned.
We're we're going off the beaten path a bit to talk about something Zach is very passionate about, and that's country music.
I love that this being framed as I'm very passionate about it, because my passions are derived from the fact that I am from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
I grew up around a lot of country music. I could tell you lots of funny stories about country musicians that I will share for a time in which we're all drinking, but I am a Black person too. And I grew up understanding that to be Black is to not like country music, and not understanding why people thought that, because Black people created country music, and everyone on the Black side of my family, being an interracial person, loved it so, so much. So I'm so excited to talk about country music today for many reasons.
So, you know, unless you're a country music fan, massive fan, the biggest fan around, like Zach, just kidding. This statement may sum up what you know about the genre. It's very white and very straight. But in the past week, two stories have surfaced that show that that could be changing.
You remember Morgan Wallen? He broke his COVID protocol before appearing on SNL. Well, now he's been caught using the N-word vociferously while drunk, which is both disgusting and unsurprising. But what has been surprising, Nashville's response, it's giving hope that the industry may at least be willing to do the bare minimum to diversify their talent pool and make way for more artists of color.
Oh, and that other story is that TJ Osborne of the Brothers Osborne has come out, making him the first openly gay artist signed to a major country record label. It's really so much to talk about, which is why we're so glad our guest today is Elamine Abdul-Mahmood. He wrote the piece, "If Morgan Wallen's Racism Won't Bring a Reckoning to Country, What Will?"
Hey, Elamine, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So this is an interview where we're breaking down some of the stereotypes surrounding country music. And I want to start out by pointing out that you, Elamine, are not exactly a stereotypical country music fan, which I love saying to you because I am from Nashville and I hear that so much about other Black people. So talk to us about your own journey with country music.
Right. I think I'm a recent comer to country. Like I would say like my journey with country maybe started 4 or 5 years ago. I'm a big sort of classic rock person, and I'd never heard the Byrds album, Sweetheart of the Rodeo, which is this album that incorporates a lot of country rock elements. So that was kind of my gateway. And then I was like, wait a minute, do I like country music? for the longest time before that, I was like, oh, I listen to anything but country. Like I thought that made me like a worldly person or something.
I would say that was people's first personality before we had that. That was like, correct. Not liking country music was a first personality for people.
I'm guilty of that personality, but also guilty of eventually realizing like, oh my God, what an annoying personality. What an annoying thing to build your personality around. Like country's great. It's wonderful music. You should listen to it all the time.
So when we do look at this broad stereotype of what country music is, we tend to think white. So very white.
Yes.
And conservative and bro-y and kind of racist. So we maybe weren't so surprised when Morgan Wallen, a big star, was caught using a racial slur. What was your initial reaction to that?
It was a combination of that checks out. And also at the same time, like that Tyra, we were rooting for you gif,
you know,
it was sort of like, it was both worlds. Morgan is really good. Like his music is good. The first album that he put out was a lot of fun to listen to. It was really compelling sort of small town country music. And then like he's had a few run-ins with bad PR in the last little while. You guys might recall that story when he was on SNL. And so just before he was on SNL, like he was caught violating their COVID protocols. And then like 2 months later, he was back on SNL because I don't know, like the country marketing machine is strong and does not like take no for an answer. And so like you could get the sense that like country music was not going to give up on someone like Morgan Wallen. They're just like never going to give up on someone with jeans that tight. It just never would happen. and so like when this story broke, I was like, okay, you have the number one album in America for 3 weeks in a row. Like, bro, like you might be a little racist. Like, don't fuck up the bag this bad. How could you possibly fumble the bag this badly? Just disappointment, but not, I don't think anyone was shocked. I don't think a lot of people were like, yeah, this checks out. This feels like a Morgan Wallen thing to do.
Okay. So like you said, though, that the country music machine is strong. So what was the response from the music industry?
Well, so the first time that he made that SNL mistake, like, there was a lot of rallying around him to sort of, like, just get him back up to the place where he was going to be, because, like, he was on this verge of this breakthrough. And then the album came out, and it was indeed, like, as big a moment as we thought it was going to be. This time around, the response was swift, kind of in the other direction. So very quickly, his booking agent dropped him. A bunch of radio stations said, we're going to take him off radio, which is like a really big deal in country. Like, it's a big deal in general, but in country music specifically, like, radio is so central to someone's rise. So that was a huge sort of indication that, like, no, he fucked up really badly this time around. He also, like, he got pulled off the curated playlist on Spotify, playlist on Apple. The industry itself sort of moved quickly to distance themselves from him. That was the industry response. But did that affect his streams? No. Did that affect his sales? No. They went up by 1,000%. And this is, like, actually 1,200%. I don't know why I undersold it there. It went up by 1,200%, which is a stunning number when you already begin to realize that, like, this is a guy who was at the top of the charts and has been at the top of the charts for the last 3 weeks already.
Yeah, it's wild. And I'm so glad you bring up the industry, because I want to go there, because in your piece, you talk a lot about how Black country artists are treated by this industry, an industry I grew up in the shadow of in Nashville. Like, it is a very powerful industry, as you've already talked about with the SNL stuff. So, you know, when people think about Black country musicians, they always talk about Darius Rucker as the example, which is hilarious, because Darius Rucker was already famous with Hootie and the Blowfish from the same type of white people that already loved him. So this is, like, not a good example. So anyway, let's talk about this. Why is it that he's the only example we have, and how is this industry just really blocking Black people from thriving in the industry?
Well, Darius, first of all, I can't badmouth Darius. I love that man. But also at the same time, like, every time that the industry has someone to point to, they're like, well, look at Darius, we got one. And it's like, yeah, you could have more though. I think, like, it's a particular recurring embarrassment of country music that, like, they seem to make room for, like, one Black artist at a time. It's sort of like how in the 90s they used to talk about, like, women in hip hop. Like, you could have one. You could have one woman who's a rapper.
As a treat.
Yeah, as a treat. Women can have one as a treat. And it's like, Black people can have one as a treat. And for the longest time, it was Darius Rucker. It's particularly frustrating right now because we're in this moment of, like, an incredible renaissance of Black artists in country music. There's so many amazing artists who are doing great work, and the industry is just not supporting them. And the biggest example of this is Mickey Guyton. And Mickey Guyton has been signed to a major label for years and years. She has never put out a country album because for the longest time, there was, like, this question of, like, should we position her as a country artist? Should we position her as an R&B artist? And she's like, y'all, I'm a country artist. I assume she said y'all. I say y'all. And so did
yeah,
she.
She said y'all.
For sure said y'all. And so after she put out a song during the Black Lives Matter uprising last year called Black Like Me, beautiful song, that song started charting. It got nominated for a country Grammy, which is significant because now it's kind of like this kind of embarrassing moment for the industry where you have Mickey Guyton, who has been nominated for a country Grammy without ever putting out a country album. Like, they just, like, never supported her. And, like, now she's nominated for a Grammy in the category, still having not gotten the support that she deserves from that industry. She's finally now starting to get that push, but, like, it's not there.
Okay, so on the other hand, there was another big, seemingly very positive moment in country music last week. TJ of the Brothers Osborne came out. He's the first openly gay artist signed to a major country label. What has the reaction to that been like?
So far, it's really positive. So TJ has a lot of support. And, like, first of all, the Brothers Osborne are amazing, and I love them so much.
Incredible.
And I was so happy to see that story and the support that TJ gets because, like, he is... becoming the first is a huge deal, but also having your other artists rally around you is an even bigger deal. So, like, seeing people like Maren Morris, seeing people like Casey Musgraves tweeting that they're just, like, really excited about this moment tells you, like, country's changing, but it's changing slowly. And, like, it continues to change slowly. And, like, that's the frustration. I think there's, like, a misconception that country is, like, this very backwards looking institution with nobody in there being frustrated by this. But, like, the fact that we're even having these conversations is an indication that, like, there are a lot of people pushing for change. They're just getting sort of stonewalled over and over again.
Have you heard of any radio stations, like, pulling his music or anything? Because I know in the past radio stations have pulled songs with gay lyrics in it.
I haven't seen that yet.
That's positive then.
It is. But also like it's not like the Brothers Osborne are like new, you know what I mean? Like they're like this massive best-selling artist. So like there is certainly the safety there. Country Queer is an amazing blog, but it's sort of been keeping track of queer people in country and how they're treated. And like what they do is document an evolution of how country views queer artists, but also like we're not at this like inflection point of being like, okay, now we're good at this. So I would check them out because they're really good at sort of breaking it down.
I'm so glad you said that. You're really giving me life today because, you know, I keep mentioning that I grew up in Nashville. I grew up in the shadow of this industry. And what I know most about it is that, you know, what they say in public is very different than how they act in private. And TJ Yes. Osborne has said in his interviews with Time Magazine that his friends and colleagues didn't know he was gay for many years. So people in the inside of country music did know this, just like they probably knew that Mr. Wallen was racist too. But what you're pointing to is that publicly they're repositioning themselves. But why is this public positioning maybe not the most authentic thing for country music? Because I just keep thinking about Lil Nas X, you know, just a few years ago, did win, but country did not really embrace the black gay boy. He had to keep doing pop charts and R&B and everything else. So what's going on here?
I mean, they specifically said, you know, this is not country music, you know, and of course he pushed back against that. But we're seeing, I think, is a changing of the guard in country, but it's just sort of so slowly happening that it's kind of frustrating to watch for anyone, I don't know, younger than 52. Like there's this element of watching these things change, watching the conversation change, but also when you get to the highest levels of these institutions, they're not interested in the full out embrace of these artists. They're not really fully like it. Remains crazy to me that while you have artists like Raina Roberts, while you have artists like Brittany Spencer, while you have artists like Yola, like Willie Jones, who are doing so well that they wouldn't just like, these are all black artists who are doing amazing, that you wouldn't have country, just from a financial and commercial perspective, shift to embrace them in a really big way because like there is money to be made there. Like just like, if you're not going to do it because it's the right thing to do it because you can make money out of it, my God. But there is sort of like that unwillingness to go full tilt has been frustrating for people to watch, but there are these ways that we can see that it's changing. You know, like you can see like someone like Jimmy Allen has gotten a lot of support for being a young black artist in the industry. And like, it's really great to see it, but it kind of fits within that model of you can have one. You can have one as a treat mm-hmm. because he's mm-hmm. kind of been the big one for the past couple of years. Kane Brown too.
So we've talked about a lot of like change and what change we're seeing in the industry, but I want to like go back to older country music scandals. And, yes. you know, I think about what happened to the Dixie Chicks. Do you think we've come a long way since then?
We haven't. I mean, like the fact that we keep doing this, I mean, like this is sort of what the thrust of the piece that for BuzzFeed was about is that like there are people who get second chances and there are people who don't. And the people who get second chances the most often in country tend to be the white men. Repeatedly, the Morgan Wallens of the world are going to get a second chance. And the Chicks were blackballed for 10 years, right? Like for like a decade, there was kind of like sidelines and they weren't allowed to, you know, get that second chance. That is a long and frustrating history of this industry looking at people who say things that are uncomfortable to, I guess, white men and saying, no, like this doesn't belong in the discourse right now. So I'd like to say that it's changing, but it's not changing at a speed that's fast enough for us to detect. Like it's sort of going to take a generational change.
And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the stat, but it's pretty well known, I guess, in Nashville that country music is the only genre that still sells CDs. Like country music lovers buy CDs at high rates, which is more money for the industry itself. And the reason for that is because it's an older audience. So do you think that's also a factor here for these young black artists that maybe need digital sales or digital platforms to kind of grow? Is that kind of why the industry is being like, girl, maybe not today. You're not moving CDs yet.
Well, I mean, that's just it. Is that like when you have choices in terms of where to allocate your resources, you're investing them in the people who can move those CDs, right? Who can move physical copies at a Walmart as opposed to have massive digital sales. Having said that, you know, like someone like Morgan Wallen, he broke streaming records. I think he doubled Luke Combs' previous record. Like Luke Combs had done 102 million in the first week and Morgan Wallen's done 240 million in his first week. So that's pretty incredible. And we should say that like streaming is a young sort of industry. Like records are being set all the time. And the reason it's being set all the time is because like more and more people are turning towards streaming. So what that's teaching is that like country has a lot of lessons to learn. One of them is if you invest more in the streaming efforts, you will get more out of those. And that includes promoting your black artists.
And you know, before we let you go, who are some Black artists people should be listening to after today? Who you got for them?
Oh my God. I would start with maybe Chapel Heart. I love Chapel Heart. Brittany Spencer is amazing. Yola is so great. Yola is a British woman who does sort of country soul. And you like listening to her, you could swear that it sounds like what would happen if Aretha Franklin just did like a country album. Like it's just so, I know, it's incredible. I mentioned Willie Jones earlier and he's just kind of like, he's like a really cheeky guy, like a lot of like really fun sort of, very standard country radio fun, but like he brings like this extra cheekiness to it that I really love. So I would start with those people. Jimmy Allen, of course, because he's just been so central for the past few years. So let's start there.
Well, I'm excited for my Spotify to change drastically.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Join us tomorrow when Matt Stapira comes by to discuss everything Britney Spears.
And speaking of, remember, maybe don't make jokes at the expense of the vulnerable.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed, coming to you daily.